Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
Everyone took different routes. It's almost like when you enter a destination into the GPS and it shows you the 15 different routes you can take to get there. And you never want to take the longest one, right? Or the one that you have to pay for the most tolls. But even at that time during residency, me and Weston weren't the main players at all by any means. We were sitting on the sidelines sometimes thinking to ourselves, did we take the right path?
God, Weston earned that Chipotle promo. God, he worked hard for that. It's Rog, and my lord, how I look forward to this moment to welcome back a gent who I've long revered on the field in his seven seasons, charging forward with abandon and determination to make his dreams and our dreams in a way come true, including leading our nation back into the World Cup. Also off the field, he's a reflective gent who's defining his own path with deliberation and remarkable value. We pod at a time when the World Cup is just 172 days away, and we will live out the twists and turns of that odyssey. In terms of whom he is, there's a clue in the name of this podcast. Tyler Adams, Road to the Cup, presented by Volkswagen. It is a joy to welcome back Mr. Tyler Adams.
What's up, Rog? Thanks for having me back.
Oh, Tyler, you beautiful human being. We are finding you freshly landed in Kansas City after last night's tune-up 3-0 win over fellow World Cup bound team Morocco. It's the first African side you faced as a senior player.
What a performance overall by the team. What a good feeling to finally play an opposition that wasn't from CONCACAF. We've had this long-awaited time where we wanted to face different oppositions and really test ourselves against World Cup opponent. You know, you look at Morocco last night and see some of the names that are on that field, and we matched up really well against them.
Tyler, that was some opening goal. I loved what Christian Pulisic said about that opening goal after the game. Mm-hmm. He said, I guess for you guys, it might not be easy, but it's what I've done. I've been training this my whole life. So for me, it's a touch I expect myself to make. Yeah, maybe it's not for everyone. Tyler, how many Americans could pull off that first touch in our nation of 330 million?
That was a special touch right there. And that's why he's our number 10. He shows up in those moments right there. And that quality that he has, the composure to settle the ball and then simply pass it across the goal for Brendan Aaronson. As soon as that ball was played over the top, that's the guy I want receiving the ball. So I was happy.
My list of the Americans who could pull that touch off: Pulisic, Rose Lavelle. Not a long list. We will talk more about the Baby Eagles and the USA, but I do want to start by returning to club football. But before we do, remember, this podcast is powered by the GFOPs at Volkswagen, the presenting partner for our very own US men's and women's national teams. Oh, a brand who truly believe that when we drive something bigger than ourselves, we change the destination. Okay, Tyler, let's relive the finale to Leipzig's campaign for you. First of all, congratulations on lifting the Pokal, the German Cup.
Yeah, I mean, three finals in the Pokal in 3.5 years of my time in Leipzig. I'm happy to finally get one under my belt and win that first trophy.
The win was RB Leipzig's first ever trophy after years of coming so bloody close but never quite reaching the promised land. Victory against a feisty, remarkable Freiburg. With 10 men, you're able to last through extra time, hold on to a 1-1 draw. Can you take us into a penalty shootout? What goes through your mind when that final whistle blows and you know it's going to penalties, you all huddle together. Do you already know if you're taking one or not?
As soon as that whistle blew and we come into the huddle, the coach basically just goes around and says, who's willing to take a PK? Some guys aren't fresh, some guys are confident, some guys are not. We had five guys that stepped up immediately and wanted to take the PKs. I was sixth on the list, so I was prepared if it came to that. I was kind of happy that it didn't come that far and we won it in four, so I'll take that. But I was prepared to if I needed to.
Were you really? I mean, what goes through your mind in that penalty shootout when all the players are just standing there doing the penalty shootout thing, arms round each other, stranded on the halfway line? I'll be candid, we're fans crapping it. Even yeah. neutrals yeah. crapping it. We're watching humans essentially play Russian roulette. It's not football. It's a completely different thing. Yeah. What do you experience?
It's a long walk from half field to the penalty spot, so you have to be prepared for that. Your thought process can change very quickly. You know, if my opportunity came, I just had to be prepared to control the nerves.
Do you actually train penalties regularly or just in the run-up to big games?
For me, just in the run-up to big games, because normally I'm not the main penalty shooter. So that last week or throughout the Pokal, before every game, we would take them because it could always come to penalty shootout in tournament format. So I was prepared at the end of the day.
You told me before we started taping that you were intending to do a Panenka.
No Panenkas for me. I can't let you know where I'm going to go because all the goalkeepers that might listen to this, I can't give them my spot, but it's the same spot every time.
Oh, but does a victory on penalty shootouts, emotionally, does it feel different to a win in extra time? The sweet relief, the anxiety.
Winning in a penalty shootout does feel very different because your emotions are so heightened at that time. You know, it all comes down to this final 5 minutes or however long a penalty shootout takes. Fans are going wild after each and every penalty. So you're always on edge in that moment. Whereas in a regular game or an extra time, you're just playing normally. But in a penalty shootout, things change so quickly.
Leipzig tweeted out a photograph of you in the moment of victory at the Olympiastadion in Berlin, holding the really rather ornately crafted Pokal trophy. And it was like watching a young father cradle a newborn baby. I love that image. And what went through your mind in that sweet moment? What were you feeling in that photograph?
To win your first European trophy, that's what you dream of when you decide to make the move one day from New York Red Bulls to RB Leipzig. And you say to yourself, I'm not just going on this journey for myself, but I want to be able to compete with the best players. I want to be able to raise trophies, show what I'm capable of. So, you know, to come in that game late, have a little bit of an impact after a long, long season and my third final, to have people in the stands watching me, my girlfriend there to support me, it was amazing.
Watching it, I was blown away that we are living in a moment I will never take for granted in US soccer history, that a 23-year-old from Wappingers Falls, New York, can lift the DFB Pokal. It's amazing.
You know, what's even better about that is to see the guys that have done it already before me with Christian Pulisic and Gio Reyna. And we're just creating a list to add to the history of young Americans that are being able to win trophies in Europe. So hopefully it's the first of many, but I'm definitely happy to get that one under my belt. For me, I felt like it was the one that I needed to show that I'm headed in the right direction. It was definitely validation in the sense that our team had something special this year and it wasn't wasted. Although we didn't make it to the Europa League final, although it had been a tough first half of the season, winning that Pokal at the end showed our quality and our unity as a group.
The Pokal marked the end of the German season, and I want to know, what happens at the end of the season? Do you all just fill a cardboard box, empty out the locker room, and Auf Wiedersehen? Or is there some kind of end of season review process with the club?
We start preparing to leave before our last Bundesliga game. Throughout that week, we start emptying our locker. They're telling us the training center is going to be completely clean throughout the summer, so take whatever you need. So you pack everything up, bring it home. That's that. You got to finish the season. So you can't really get too focused on summer right away, although you're packing everything up because you still have games to play.
Do they sit down with you, the club management, and talk about what you've done that season and end of year review? Or are they just like, go and enjoy your freedom?
It's more go and enjoy your freedom. As soon as that last game's ended, maybe we have a meeting the next day real quick just to say what we need to do in the offseason and what time we have to report back for preseason, etc. And then we're off on our own way. So everyone goes to either national team or starts their vacation and holidays, and then we'll see some people when we return, some people won't come back. That's football.
When you look back on the season as a whole, how do you feel about the campaign?
This season for me was an important one. Ups and downs, a lot of learning moments, big Champions League games that I was able to be a part of. obviously coaching changes, which are never easy. Sometimes you're favored, sometimes you're not. But just learning that process, that thought process, how to deal with it mentally. Physically, for me, it was one of my best seasons where I was able to stay healthy throughout the whole season, which was really important for me to be available at all times and not give the coach the opportunity to say, no, he's not healthy or he hasn't been healthy. So being able to learn how to manage my body while playing my first qualifying cycle with the national team. So I look back on the end of the season and I say, although I wish I played more with my club, it also favored me a little bit to be healthy for the national team and be available for the national team. And at the end of the season, I played 43 or 45 games, I think, you know, the most in my career in a season. So there's definitely a lot of positives to take away from it. And then, you know, there's some negatives, growing pains that you need to go through. I think I'll only get better from those.
The transfer season is starting to hit full swing right now, and there are so many swirling rumours surrounding so many American talents, Serginho Dest, Weston McKennie, Pulisic, and yourself. How do you experience these periods together as players? Are you continually talking through it together when you're sitting there in camp? Or is it something like the Scottish play Macbeth as an actor that it's best never to mention?
I distance myself from all of that. I'm very fortunate to have a good agent. My dad is very involved in my soccer career, and luckily he has such a good soccer background that he's able to handle that and take a lot of the burden off of me. But they come to me when it's important conversations and we need to have serious discussions. Otherwise, they let me focus on my football, and I have a clear mind at the end of the day that, you know, wherever I end up, I'm going to be able to compete, I'm going to be able to develop, and they're going to put me in the best position to succeed.
We find you back in US men's national team camp, but before you arrived, you had a rare short break. When you do get a break, do you stop thinking about football in that time? Tyler, how do you rest?
You can never completely turn off when it comes to football because you always have to be ready to go. I had a 5-day break, so I headed down to Mexico with my friends, my girlfriend's friends, and just enjoyed the time with the people that I haven't been able to see over the past 2 years because of COVID and me living in Europe. And I did completely shut off, to be completely honest with you. That was the first time in my career where I felt like after a 2-year grind, which people don't see, where this COVID schedule has had us play every 3 days, and whether you're on the bench or starting, mentally you always have to be focused for the opportunity. And I came back into camp and only had 3 days before the next game, but how refreshing it felt to just get away and not think about, oh, what time do I have to show up to practice? What time do I need to eat before the game? And all these different details. It was so nice.
Are there a couple of days when you're just like living in Five Guys or smashing pizzas with all the toppings?
Oh, 100%. One of my brothers loves to eat. So usually I'm out with him, and being able to go out to a restaurant and not really care what you're eating or what you're drinking, that's a good feeling.
You were 19 when you joined Leipzig.
Yeah.
You start to play football with world superstars in some of the most glamorous cities in Europe. It's an adjustment for every kid to return to their hometown. But for an elite footballer, that must be next level. How did you experience it reverting to the childhood bedroom, that whole transition process?
I don't look at it as being a soccer superstar. I just look at it as a kid that's from Wappingers Falls, that's hanging out with his friends again and going to the local pizzeria and getting a $3 slice of pizza. It's always a humbling experience to go home and see where you came from.
And are you like crashing into old high school friends who you've not seen in a while, and you're like, hey, what are you doing? And they're like, wow, yeah, I'm in insurance or real estate. What are you doing? And you're like, yeah, I play football in Germany.
I play Sunday league pickup sometimes. It's always a little bit strange when it's people that you don't talk to on a consistent basis, but I've always grown up with such a small circle. So I have 3 or 4 friends that I talk to every day and that I'm so close knit with. And whenever I go home, I'm always hanging out with them, and they know what I do. I know what they do. So it's perfect.
There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select 2 or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites, in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke espresso blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. You are, as I said, back with your band of brothers, the US men's national team. And when I filmed the behind-the-scenes Hard Knocks of the US team before the 2014 World Cup, I always loved that moment when the squad first came together, met at the airport, wherever they were, whatever city. The American-born big dogs flying in from Europe. It was Clint, yeah. Tim Howard, Josie then in the Premier League. And when they arrived, you could almost see the pressure of European club football just roll off them, even before they got through baggage claim. It felt like they were home. Do you relate to that?
Nah, I relate to it for sure. Started my national team career, it was just coming from MLS, and I play in New York and we have a game in North Carolina and Raleigh and hop on the 2-hour flight and you're there. And now changing time zones and being a part of a big European club and coming from a Champions League game on a Wednesday to national team on a Sunday, all these different variables that come into play. The stress is definitely different. I wouldn't say that we come into national team camp and we want to relax, because when we come here, obviously we want to get better as a group. But coming into friendlies like this and being able to hang out with your friends, there's not that qualifying pressure, so to speak. So for us, it's important to have these types of games where we can have a little bit of a different mindset while getting better.
Does camp feel, as a result, almost like coming together, a safe place, a boon?
I've heard from older national team players, coming into national team camp in the past wasn't always that easy. Sometimes it was a little bit stressful. Whereas now I feel like Greg and the staff have created such an environment where we feel so comfortable around each other, and we have team events, team dinners, things to do, that when we come into camp, we genuinely enjoy it.
What's the goal for you over the next couple of games, the Nations League clashes?
Constantly winning for us is very important. You have to win all games, no matter the opponent that you're playing against. But what's important throughout this camp is a lot of the new guys are going to get opportunities. And, you know, I say new guys, but a lot of these guys are playing their club level at a very high level. So they know what these types of games are going to entail. And now it's just about cashing in on the opportunity, so to speak.
One of the storylines, talking about old guys, that I love most about this camp is the return of Haji Wright, the 24-year-old from Los Angeles, California, who broke through as a phenom alongside you and Christian and Weston in the US Youth Academy. I mean, he really was the goal machine, who then, after going to Europe with Schalke, struggled to find a foothold, but has been resurgent, blasting 15 goals this season in the Turkish Superliga with Antalyaspor. And there's a photo of you that I love. I tweeted out after he scored yesterday. You, baby-faced and sweaty. I think you're around the age of 14. Christian's there. Weston's at the back. Hadji's beaming. I think it's the under-14 US squad holding some trophy after a tournament you won in Bosnia. Can you describe what it's like to have him finally back in camp with you, making his international debut after he'd essentially fallen through the ice for 8 long years?
That was almost like the missing piece. It's emotional because it's crazy how quick time goes by. It feels like just yesterday that we were in residency together, and all with the same goal, signing our first professional contract, reaching the senior men's national team. And it seemed so far away. And now we have it right at our fingertips, and we're able to control a lot of the factors that are leading our country into a better time in the world of football. But that was just the start of something special. So, you know, every time I look at that, I just think everyone took different routes. It's almost like when you enter a destination into the GPS and it shows you the 15 different routes you can take to get there. And you never want to take the longest one, right? Or the one that you have to pay for the most tolls. But some of us had to pay tolls. Some of us had to take the longer journey. Even at that time during residency, me and Weston weren't the main players at all by any means. We were sitting on the sidelines sometimes thinking to ourselves, did we take the right path? But we're happy to all be together now.
God, Weston earned that Chipotle crewmate. God, he worked hard for that. There's a beautiful photograph of you hugging Hadji in that moment after he'd scored.
I literally said to him, love you, bro. Enjoy it. You deserve it.
God, it is true. So many paths to glory. And Hadji, yeah. Right, God, he deserves every bloody joy. This is also the first camp since the groundbreaking landmark equal pay deal was finally ratified by US soccer after six long grinding years of legal battles between the US women's national team and US soccer. Tyler, you were a representative for the US men's national team players union.
We're happy to kind of set that landmark now in the history of the game and be the first nation to offer equal pay to both men and women. We hope to see around the world that more teams start to take this route.
There is a pathfinding moment for American football, and a lot of the women's players have talked about the deal from their POV. Can you take us inside the discussions about how the men's union saw it?
Now, obviously, we wanted to do what's most important, the equal pay attribute. Another thing that was important to us is the revenue sharing, where when we have games and we sell this amount of tickets and we have this amount from sponsors, that the players are getting an equal amount from this category. For us, what we thought about was that the benefit from playing in a World Cup and being able to get a share of the amount of money that we're going to bring in and throughout qualifying and all the sponsors, that's going to benefit the players the most, not only now in our current cycle, but in the long run for the younger players, because it's only going to become more and more when we have a World Cup in our own country.
Amen. Godspeed. Another piece of big news in terms of US soccer since we last spoke. 18-year-old goalkeeping phenom Gaga Slonina has committed his international future to the US men's national team. He was also eligible and actually called up by the Polish national team. He issued a really beautiful statement saying that he's very proud of his roots and his heritage, but his heart is American. And I saw all of this as a sign of how good the American talent pipeline is. We used to just compete for talent with Mexico, but now so many nations are after our American boys. Mm-hmm. How does it go down from inside the squad, this battle for the different players who are eligible for different nations? Are you all like reaching out to try and make the sell from the inside?
No, not at all, to be completely honest with you. I think the coaching staff has a big influence on that, having important conversations with players and where they fit into the process of what we want to become as a soccer nation. But for, I think, a lot of the players, how we look at it is, if you want to be here, you want to be here. And that's why you're going to choose to play for America and represent our country with the purest intentions. So as a player, you want to be next to players that want to fight for the crest as much as you do. When Yunus Musa chose to play for the US men's national team, every time he steps on the field, he's fighting for that crest and he's representing our country in the best way possible. So not only are people wanting to do that when they make that decision, but they do see the talent that we do have. And it's a real team. It's becoming a real soccer nation. I think that's the most important thing.
But you mentioned Yunus. I mean, he could have played for England, Italy, or Ghana, chose the United States. But it looked from the outside as if you guys were all on a charm offensive. You were all over his social for weeks. Yeah. And I looked at it, I was like, who's organizing that charm offensive? Yeah. How's that done?
No, because after his first camp, he hadn't still committed full time to playing for the US because they were friendly games. So as soon as we had him in camp and we saw his personality and how he is, you'll never see Yunus not smiling. Like every time you walk up to him, you could say something bad to him and he'll smile. That will be his first reaction. So he's just the best person to have around, best person to be in the locker room with. And obviously he's an amazing footballer. So yeah, we were commenting everything. We wanted him to play for the US bad.
Let me remind you, dear listeners, this podcast is made possible by the partnership of Volkswagen. And I love their line, drive bigger, which encourages people not to give in to small-mindedness. I drive a Volkswagen because of their support of football in this nation. And my Lord, I co-sign this message. Volkswagen is about living every day to the fullest with intentionality, purpose, and enjoyment. Who could possibly be against any of that? In short, life gets bigger when you drive with an open mind. From American national team to America's team, and I'm talking the Hudson Valley Hammers, who have now taken to the field since we last spoke in USL League 2 action. The 2022 season has begun. I'm following it with a keen eye. You are the owner of this enterprise. And here's what I want to know. What kind of owner are you? Are you like Will Ferrell, who told us that he just loves to go in the locker room before games, give out the pre-game pump-up speeches? Or are you more like the Stan Kroenke variety, where you look on from very, 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 very far away?
Listen, I would be as hands-on as possible if it was possible. But obviously, with having to play national team and not always being home, I give my dad the ownership responsibility when I'm not there. But as soon as I come back, then he knows to move to the side.
One other thing I love about the team that you are building is the slate of development camps for those crucial ages of 7 through 16. I mean, you are doing so much work over the summer around the whole region. And I was pretty fascinated by something Arsene Wenger said yesterday. He said between the fundamental ages of 5 and 12, it's better to have no coach at all than a bad one.
I like that. I mean, I would say that with a bad coach, you pick up bad habits and you're not learning the right way. Whereas as a young player, where you're given the ability to have freedom and express yourself, when you finally do have that good coach to add the structure that you need, the mentality that you need, then I think it's a smooth development process. So we have an overall training program of what our academy entails. So we take the pillars of what our academy structure is, the style of play that we want to play, and try to interpret that to the younger kids now, whether it's through technical and tactical sessions where they can gain this baseline of what football is about. But the most important thing throughout these camps is to have fun. When I was younger, I didn't want to sit there and listen to coaches say this. I didn't want to sit there and listen to coaches say that. I wanted to play with my friends five aside and just let me run around and have some fun. So we incorporate a lot of fun sessions, whether it's games and drills, that while they're learning these technical abilities and different technical maneuvers, they're also having fun. That's the most important thing.
One of my goals, Tyler, for the summer is to get up to Newburgh for a match, hang out with your mum and dad,
yes,
and really experience the wonder that you are building.
You need to come ASAP.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
One of my favorite features of this Tyler Adams Road to the Cup, powered by Volkswagen Podcast, the calls you leave at 646-450-9472. If you are listening and have a question for the mighty Tyler Adams about football or life, phone it in at any time and it could be your voice on this podcast. Bonus points if you're driving a Volkswagen as you're doing so. Tyler Adams, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Let's take our very first caller.
This is Jake Gomez calling in from Los Angeles. I have a bit of a weird one because Tyler and I used to play together, actually, in the old days with Middle Path up in LaGrangeville. So it's been really exciting for me to get to watch you kind of grow through the game. My question is about American coaching. We see your former coach, Jesse Marsh, now stepping in pretty well at Leeds, and I'm curious about how you see the trajectory of American coaches. How have you seen American coaching develop, and do you see potential for a kind of bigger presence of American coaches in Europe? Keep doing what you're doing, Tyler. I'm proud of you, bro.
Yes, I do remember playing at Middle Path. That was ages ago, but I grew up with a lot of good guys around there in LaGrangeville.
Could have been you winning the poker, Jacob Gomez, in another life. But the coaching, is the gap closing? Can you see the gap closing? Do you see a wave of American coaches coming over to Europe anytime soon?
You can definitely see the gap closing. I would say that one thing that has impressed me a lot about European coaches is just their tactical ability and the different ways they're able to play and manage the games. One thing that I love about American coaches that I think not every coach has, is that mentality factor, that U.S. mentality to go out there, grind to win games and do what you need to do, apply that pressure when it's needed. So Jesse has done an amazing job, but I do see a wave of U.S. coaches making that jump, just as American players have. What's crazy is I haven't been coached by so many Americans. Jesse and Greg are obviously the two Americans that I have been coached by at a high level. So it will be interesting to see what is that next young American coach that comes through and has the ambition to go to Europe and abroad, because it's not always easy when you have to relocate your whole family. There's a lot of other factors.
Oh, but I think the next young coach to go over, remember these two words, Bruce Arena. Question number two, let's do it.
Hi, this is Noah, originally from Buffalo, New York. I was just calling to ask Tyler Adams if he had any pre-game or post-game meals that he generally goes to.
Noah, finally a question about food. That's my favorite topic. As far as leading up to a game, I always try to put a lot of carbs in my body and a little bit of protein to keep me going and give me that energy. On the day of a game, usually I'll have for breakfast veggie omelet and some oatmeal. And then my pre-game match meal is always pasta, chicken, broccoli, sometimes salmon, and then like a bowl of fruit. Usually pretty similar every time.
What's your recovery meal?
Ooh, recovery meal could be pizza, Chick-fil-A, when I'm in the U.S., Chipotle. Doesn't matter after a game, as long as you get the food in you right after. So it could be anything.
Oh, do you have a cheat meal during the week, Tyler?
I don't really have like a big cheat meal. I love sushi, so I wouldn't say that's even unhealthy. So I like to have some sushi every now and then. So I'll usually have that once a week.
Best sushi place in Leipzig?
Oh, can't be giving out free advertisement here.
If you want to know the answer to that, just Google Tyler Adams Yelp Leipzig Sushi. He's a regular 5-star reviewer. I do remember when I was a kid, Everton footballers would have a cup of tea and a cigarette at halftime, and we were a better team then too.
Oh,
I actually think there's a causal connection, but let's take one final call.
This is Michael Cronin, originally from the hotbed of soccer talent known as Hartford, Connecticut. I'm curious to know if Tyler's noticed a difference in the way that other players or coaches view American players and the American national team, if they still see us as underdogs, or if they look at this team and they think, wow, you guys could actually do something in the next tournament or really go forward and start to be a powerhouse in the international soccer scene. So I'm looking forward to hearing the answer. Thanks, Raj.
Michael Cronin, you beauty. Tyler, do you feel a difference, a progression in how opponents view you with the US team? Is it something you experience? Is it something you even think about?
It's definitely not something I think about, but if there was a way that I would want to be viewed, it's always good to go into a game as an underdog. Teams don't always relish the opportunity to play against the US. And now when people review our team and they go over our team, they probably say, oh, we got to look out for more than 1, 2, 3, 4 guys. We have 11 players on the field that can be dangerous in their own ways. And that's super important to see the progression of how teams view us. That's credit to our team for the development that we're going through, players that are coming through the pipeline, young players almost every single camp stepping into positions to be dangerous and play a big role.
Dreams are dreams. Realities can still be great, but they happen one step at a time. Thank you to all of our callers. You really flooded the old voicemail. Keep them coming. Anytime you want to ask Tyler anything and everything over the next 5 months before the World Cup, the number to do so is 646-450-9472. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time and we'll take more of your calls then. But as ever, I want to end this podcast with one more note of inspiration, Tyler. My Lord, the world needs it right now. And I'm going to hand it over to you. Can you look back on the entirety of your journey? Give us a piece of advice, a quote, a person, a coach, somebody, something you've learned from that you call upon often in this grind towards World Cup wonder.
One quote for me that has always kept me humble and kept me going and given me the ambition that there's always more to achieve is actually a quote by Mike Krzyzewski, the Duke basketball coach. And it said, if what you did yesterday still looks big to you, then you haven't done much today. My dad sent me a picture of that quote. I think I was in middle school at the time. I think I had made New York Red Bull Academy and kind of made me look at it in a different way. It was like, yeah, the goal wasn't to make New York Red Bull Academy. It's to play for the first team. And then when I played for the first team, it wasn't to play for the first team. It was to play for RB Leipzig. There's always something something a little bit more out there that you can accomplish. And I actually have that quote on one of my shin guards, and I look at it before every game. I won the Pokal, and after I take my shin guards off and I look at that quote, I think there's another trophy that I need to be looking after now. Tomorrow is a new day. What can you accomplish in the next day? It doesn't even have to be football related. It could be anything with your family, friends, relationships, everything. So that's one for me.
God, I love that, because my thought when I saw you with the Pokal was like, oh my God, he's won the Pokal and the World Cup in the same year. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Godspeed, Tyler. Many thanks to you, you incredible gent.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all at Volkswagen for making this happen. I'm going to take the next one in my Atlas. Until next month, Godspeed, America. Let's Nations League it up and courage. Hey Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.